Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's Motivational AIM targets, you are a gift. I want to thank you all for listening to this series I'm covering entitled The Gift. For those who are joining me for the first time, my aim in this series is to encourage listeners to evaluate the gifts God grants with wisdom and discernment. Sometimes God grants us gifts that we don't understand. We don't understand why he gave us the gift, and then the gift doesn't look like what we thought the gift should be. And depending on how the gift is packaged and presented to us, we could make the mistake of rejecting the gift, and that's something we don't want to do. So that's primarily what I am discussing and going over in this series, not rejecting the gifts God gives us. So if you have not already, feel free to listen to parts 1 through 11 of this series to catch up. But I'm targeting in on the motivational aim. You are the gift. Whatever you go through in life, wherever you end up, never forget that you are the gift. I'm telling you this to remind you that you have purpose whether you believe it or not. And I want to briefly go over a passage of scripture and then tie the motivational amen so you can clearly see that you have purpose. And whenever you get an opportunity, read Judges the 4th chapter in its entirety, but this is a snapshot of what went on. God's chosen people started turning away from him. So to get their attention and to let them know how wrong they were, God handed them over to King Jabin of Canaan. The people of Israel, God's chosen people, were oppressed for 20 years. They were treated harshly by their oppressors, and they finally cried out to the Lord for help. They turned to God after 20 years. Now there was a woman by the name of Deborah, and she was a prophetess, and she communicated God's will to the people, and she was also a female judge. She maintained order among her people. Deborah received a word from God to call a man by the name of Barak to lead the Israelite men, God's chosen people, against King Jabin's army, the king who oppressed God's people for 20 years. God used Deborah as a gift for the people and Barak to tell them how he was going to deliver the people from bondage. Deborah told Barak what God told him to do. But Barak hesitated and told Deborah, "If you will not go with me, I will not go." Deborah told Barak, "Well, when God delivers us from oppression, there will be a woman who will receive the honor for the victory. A woman will receive honor for embracing the gift of God's promise." Deborah was letting Barak know that he was going to miss out on the gift God was giving him because he didn't obey God's command to trust and walk in the leadership position God gave him. The battle was in full effect now. The king who oppressed God's people sent his commander out to lead the charge. His name was Sisera. Sisera had his 900 iron chariots, and Barak had his 10,000 men. Deborah told Barak, "Go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" She was letting Barak know the Lord already gave you the gift of victory. Sisera understood that he didn't have a chance and he ran away from the fight. He fled on foot to a man's residence by the name of Heber. Sisera ran to this residence because he knew Heber and King Jabin, who oppressed God's people. They were cool. They were cordial. Sisera ran, and then he sees Heber's wife, Jael. He greets her and lets her know, "Hey, where your husband at? Heber here? Man, can you let me in? The fighting is crazy. I'm trying to hide. They are looking for me. I took off. Those boys are trying to kill me. I need you to help me out. Let me come in. Can you hide me in here? Can you please hide me? Because they're trying to kill me. JL tells him, okay, Cecilia, come on in. Come on in. Hurry up before somebody sees you. Hurry up, Cecilia. I mean, Cecilia, you okay? I knew they were fighting, but I didn't know what was going down today. You all right, Cecilia? Yeah, yeah. I tripped and fell a couple of times, but as I was laid out on the ground, I was thinking, oh, man, Heber stay down this way. Man, all I got to do is make it to Heber's house. So that's why I came over here. I was like, man, I know him and his wife going to let me come in. And sure enough, you open the door. You let me come in here. Ooh, man, I'm so grateful. Then JL let him know, Cecilia, it's so good you came by. You already know I got you. You know I got you. But Cecilia, be real quiet because there's no telling who saw you run up over here. So lay down. Lay down, man. Let me go ahead and get a thick, heavy blanket so I can put it on you. So no one will detect you've been here. Cecilia probably said, you know what, JL? I like the way you think. I like the way you think. Let me go ahead and lay down. And then JL goes up to Cecilia and asks him, hey, do you want anything to drink? Yeah, yeah, some water. Man, I'm thirsty and exhausted. JL responds, I bet. Man, I bet. It's hot out there, too. You know what, Cecilia? I don't want to go out to the well to draw any water because that might look suspicious. But I do have some ice-cold milk right here. You want some? JL, that would be fabulous. Thank you. JL, thank you. Hey, JL, could you do me a favor? Yeah, Cecilia, what's up? Will you stand in the doorway of your house? And if anybody comes by and asks you, is anyone here? Just say no. Just say no. JL responds, Cecilia, you know I got you, man. Just chill and take a nap. Relax. Okay, relax. But there was one thing Cecilia didn't know. He had no idea that he ran straight to his death. The woman he ran to, although her husband was cordial with the king, JL was a child of God. JL was on the Lord's side. JL was tired of being oppressed. JL wasn't friends with Cecilia. She wasn't cool with him. But Cecilia didn't know that. So, JL played the part. Come on in, Cecilia. And when the enemy lay down and snuggled up with her blanket after drinking a glass of milk, JL took a tent peg, most likely some rusted, thick, sharp metal. She took a tent peg and hammered the tent peg into Sisera's temple, his head. She killed him and nailed him to the ground so he wouldn't get up, just in case somebody tried to get him. JL's actions confirm that you are the gift. And what I mean by this is, let's look at this. Let's explore this. A woman was at home, minding her business. We know she was trusting God. She believed God. She had a relationship with God. We know that there was something going on with her and her husband if she chose God, and her husband was cordial with the king who oppressed God's people. I say that because Cecilia had no idea that someone in the house was on God's side. For him not to know that, it wasn't shared with him. There was no detection that somebody was not on his side. That's why he ran to the house. Had Cecilia known that JL was on God's side, he would not have ran over there. He would not have ran over there with confidence. He ran to that house, banking on the fact that the people he was running to had no relationship with God, and they were just like him. They were on his side. People don't run to their known enemies for refuge. They run to people who are like them. They run to people who are like-minded. That is what individuals do. And that is what Sisera did. Jael chose God. And she chose everything about God. She yearned for deliverance. And when the enemy ran to her house, he came in, but he did not survive. Jael was the gift. There are many people listening right now, wondering what their purpose in life is. All they do is stay at home. All they do is help people out. They feel stuck and stationary. They're always cordial with people. They manage their household. They manage their children. They look out for others. They're praying for others. They're praying to God. The routine looks the same day in and day out. They feel the same. They are tired of being in their tent. They're tired of securing tent pegs. They're tired of making sure the tent is always taken care of. They are praying for purpose, praying for increase, praying for change. But little do they know that every time they say a prayer, every time they declare God's word, every time they quote a scripture, every time they thank God, every time they read God's word, they are strengthened for whatever is coming. And then one day, the enemy comes to their door. The enemy comes telling the person who feels stuck, stagnant, and stationary. The enemy tells them, yeah, go ahead and make accommodations for me to live here. Make accommodations for me. I mean, I know you stuck. I know you feel tired. I know you feel stationary. I know you're tired of all this. Just make accommodations for me. Let me live here. Let me spice some things up. Look at Jael. That happened to her. Doing the same thing some of y'all are doing every day. Just trying to do the right thing. But the right thing seems stationary. It's not exciting. People don't recognize you for anything. You're overlooked. You're taken advantage of. Trying to figure out, I mean, God, I'm praying, but what's up? Lord, when you coming through for me? Because it's real hard over here. I've been oppressed for a very long time. I'm praying. I'm talking to you. I'm reading your word. I'm declaring all these scriptures. I'm saturating myself in the word of God. I'm listening to every God-honoring program I can put my hands on. Lord, what is the deal? When are you going to change this? Jael was going through the same thing you were going through. But one day, the enemy that caused all these issues in her life, the enemy that caused all the stagnation, the enemy that caused her to be stuck and oppressed, showed up at her door. Showed up. And asked to come in. But guess what Jael did? She used the gifts God gave her. She used every gift she had. God gave her the gift of communication. She used that gift. God gave her the gift of service. She used that gift. She used it when she provided blankets and milk. God gave her the gift of assurance. She used that gift. She let the enemy know, yeah, come on in. Lay down.
got you. You're safe with me. She used the gift of wisdom. She used the gift of discernment God gave her. She recognized this is the enemy. This is the cause of the issues I'm experiencing. This enemy is not only oppressing me, but my community, my loved ones, this generation. If this keeps up, you know, it's going to be a generational curse. Oh, I have the wisdom on what to do with this enemy. Let me go ahead and isolate this enemy. And then Jael used the gift of action God gave her. So when the enemy lay down, she took that rusted tent peg. And you know, tent pegs are rather large. And she drove that tent peg in that man's temple, that enemy's temple. She drove that tent peg in his head. She did not put that tent peg in his leg. She did not put that tent peg in his foot or his hand. She took it straight to his head. She pierced the enemy on his head, in his head. She went to the root and hammered the tent peg in his head. I don't think it was a clean situation either, but Jael wasn't playing with that enemy. She did what so many people do every day, in a sense. They take the word of God, they take their faith in God, they take the gifts God gave them, and when the enemy shows up at their front door and makes his way in their house, so many people, men and women, do what Jael did. They drive a tent peg in the root or at the head of all evil coming in their house. They kill it and they leave it there for people to know and other enemies to know. If you show up at my front door, if you come to my house and you are my enemy, this will happen to you too. Because we don't play that over here. We don't play that. I will drive a tent peg. I will drive the word of God straight to the root of gossip, fake flattery. I will take the word of God and kill your coincidences and fake relatability. I will take the word of God and hammer it down and kill your games. Kill all that trash you have going on that doesn't align with my relationship with God and the protection of my family. No, we kill enemies over here, spiritual enemies. And we kill any opportunity you're trying to create to bring your trash or your evil ways into this house. Yeah, you thought I was boring. You thought I was basic. You thought you knew my routine. You thought, well, she's been over there all that time. I know her people. I know their people. They're cool. But what they didn't know about you was you don't play. And they didn't understand that you don't play the going along to get along game. You're not a part of that crew. You're a part of the drive a tent peg spiritually through you crew. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I said spiritually, you drive tent pegs through evil situations. I am not condoning people getting tent pegs and physically driving tent pegs through people's temples. I'm not saying to go do that. What I am saying is getting the word of God and the gifts God gave you and driving that through the head of the enemy, or the enemy's trying to come into your house to influence you negatively and influence your family negatively. And sometimes driving a tent peg through someone in the spiritual sense means anointing your entire house, praying over your house, praying in your house, praying over your car, praying in your car, praying over your money, praying over your phone, reading the word of God, praying to God for insight, wisdom, strategy, discernment, and action to follow through with what he said. Sometimes it looks like saying no
Sometimes it looks like refusing to let things in your house, refusing to let or allow thoughts in your house, conversations in your house, lifestyles in your house, substances in your house. You have to attack that stuff at the head, at the root, because the enemy wants to use anything so he can piggyback his way right onto your front door. He wants to make his way to your side door, your back door, your window, your garage. Sometimes utilizing God's word to drive the enemy down and nail him to the ground means stopping people in their tracks from crossing over your threshold, crossing over trying to get into your tent, crossing over trying to get into your house, your space, your residence, your cubicle, your phone calls. It looks like that. God will let you know what to do spiritually and physically, just like he did with Jael. You might have to use the very things God equipped you to use and the gifts he gave you in your house to nail down and destroy the enemy. But remember, you ask God for wisdom on what to do. And once again, I'm not condoning or encouraging people to engage in physical violence. But I am reminding you to remain encouraged, because God not only gifted you with gifts to withstand the evil one, he blessed you. You are the gift. Your experiences are the gift. Your knowledge is a gift. Your presence is a gift. Your wisdom is a gift. It's a gift because if it had not been for you being in position every time the enemy rolled up in your family's life, in your life, in your friend's life, and people you know in their life, they would not be saved. They would not be protected. You take care of what matters at the root. You can see things ahead of people. You have discernment. The enemy was around you and you handled up and took care of the enemy before the enemy made it to them. You took the enemy out in your God-honoring actions before the enemy's infection spread to those you know and love. God gave you the gift to deal with the enemy all while you were doing your normal day-to-day routine. That is a gift. You are a gift. I wonder how many people around Jael's tent or in other tents were thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know if I would have been able to do what you did. You're quick, Jael, girl. I mean, how did you know what to do? Jael operated in the gifts God gave her. When people thought she was just Heber's wife, no, she was a child of God in position for purpose, just like you are. You are a gift. You are the gift. You are the gift to so many people. Keep operating in the gifts God blessed you with, because those gifts are the gifts that make you into the outstanding gift God has gifted you to be. You are the gift. Never doubt that or forget it. Okay? There could have been a lot of people who thought Jael was a sellout before the enemy showed up. They saw the enemy come in and they thinking, man, she taking care of him? Man, she's weak. But her actions proved whose side she was on. When God blesses you, you don't have time trying to prove to people that you are the gift. The gift on the inside of you will come out, and the gift will expose individuals who called you out or tried to say you were a sellout. But that gift on the inside of you will impact so many people in a righteous, glorious way. You are the gift. Never forget that. Never forget that. You don't know what God has you in position for. You don't know the impact that you have on people's lives. You just don't know. It was an ordinary day for JL until the enemy showed up. And then she received the victory and the honor for taking out the person and the people who oppress God's chosen ones. Anything can happen in a day. But that's why it's important to understand that you are the gift, and it's important to operate in the gifts God has given you. And a scripture I would like to leave you with is Judges, the 4th chapter and the 21st verse. And it states, "But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground and he died." I wanted to leave you with that scripture to remind you that you are the gift. God has granted you with the wisdom to use things in your possession right now to defeat any enemy trying to rear its head at you or your family or your loved ones. God has already given you the victory. Drive God's word in the midst of your enemy. Drive God's word into the situations you're going through that are trying to oppress you. Drive prayer in the midst of your enemies and watch God come through for you. This scripture shows that we must take action, but the action must be ordained and honoring to God. We most likely aren't going around hammering tent pegs in people's heads. That's what we don't want to do. We are not doing that. We're not doing that. But we can hammer the gifts of God's word in our heads. So when we go head to head with the enemy, we can hammer the enemy with God's word and he will be defeated and he will flee every time. All right? Remain encouraged. Thank you so much for tuning in. Feel free to visit my website, drkenitrabryant.com, to check out some resources and t-shirts I have available for you on the website. Feel free to share this podcast episode or this series with someone you know. Peace and God bless.